Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C. The Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C. And this is going to be an all new show, all new hot topics, all new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today. And don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 16 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and a Cassie Ventura friend is testifying that Diddy once referred to himself as the devil and dangled her over a balcony. We have that and so much more in day 16 of your Diddy trial updates here on the Kempire channel. So we are back for our weekly update, a daily update, more than weekly, when it comes to the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Yesterday, we had a lot that played out. A lot is playing out today. Another victim is testifying today. Brianna has taken the stand. We're going to talk about that, but I want to give you just a summary of what played out yesterday, because we have quite a few new people that are probably not going back and listening to our playlist. There's a Diddy trial playlist that we've created for the channel, so be sure to check that out on our actual channel page. But some of you are not going back and listening to that. That's fine. I understand. We're on day 16. It's a lot, but some of you might. However, for those that are just behind yesterday's, just a reminder with some of the things that played out. So our friends over at NBC are just giving us of what we can expect for today's testimony. It said Frank Piazza, a forensic video expert, and Brianna Bogolan, who alleges that Combs dangled her over an apartment balcony, may testify today. She is already on the stand at the time of this recording. Yesterday's prosecutor said that they were concerned about victim two's identity, Mia, who is referred to with the pseudonym, victim two is Jane. Victim four is Mia, sorry. So they say that who is referred to with the pseudonym Jane is expected to take the stand tomorrow. Eddie Garcia, former security supervisor at the Intercontinental Hotel in Los Angeles, testified yesterday that Combs and his team desperately wanted to get the sole copy of the security video that showed the music mogul attacking Ventura in March of 2016. We also did a special yesterday telling you, will Christina Curram, KK, his chief of staff, actually testify at some point during this trial? And I speculated, because when we did our collaboration with Kirsten Brown, a prosecutor in Los Angeles, she says that she believes that Cassie Ventura isn't the star witness. She believes that more is to come. And I said, Christina Curram has been mentioned so many times, it wouldn't shock me that Christina Curram is the star witness, because she knows where the bodies are buried. Her name has been mentioned multiple times in civil lawsuits and during this trial. And the other thing that I want to mention, when we talk about Eddie Garcia, former security guard, being enamored by Diddy and doing Diddy's deeds, it's a reminder, because I feel like there's such a hypocrisy when a woman talks about doing things for Diddy versus when men do it. Why don't we have the same energy for men that do his deeds? These big grown men that shouldn't be, quote unquote, afraid of him, were afraid of him and were willing to do things for money. But no one really says anything about that. But I wanted to highlight that. So Eddie Garcia, a former security supervisor at the Intercontinental Hotel, which is now closed, testified yesterday that Combs and his team desperately wanted to get the sole copy of the security video that showed the music mogul attacking Ventura in March of 2016. I don't know if it came out yesterday, what happened with that video footage. Again, I would have to go through the testimony. Did obviously someone kept a copy, even though telling Diddy that they got rid of all the copies and that they gave him the sole copy. So in exchange for $100,000 divided among the hotel security team members, Garcia testified that he signed a non-disclosure agreement that called for his silence and the destruction of evidence. Garcia admitted on the stand that he was, quote, so nervous about the NDA that he didn't read it all before he signed it. He said that Combs presented stacks of cash in a brown paper bag and that he used his share of the money to buy a used car. A woman, as you know, yesterday disrupted the court, shouting in Combs' defense, it's not right what they're doing to him. Diddy's innocent. The judge ordered court marshals to escort her out. The uproar unfolded before the jury was seated. So that was one of my questions yesterday. Were the jury in the room when she did this? Maybe she was planted to do this. I don't know. I do believe that there are people that actually, I literally was talking with someone today that believes that Diddy is innocent. So then there's that. There are people that think that R. Kelly's innocent, that they're fans of R. Kelly still, despite everything. Fine. Derek Ferguson, the former chief financial officer at Bad Boy Entertainment, testified also yesterday and detailed the structure of Combs' businesses. If anything, even though this was a prosecution witness, it felt like it was a defense witness. However, the prosecution had the reasons why they wanted Derek up there. They wanted him up there to confirm this transfer of $20,000 from Cassie Ventura's mother, Regina Ventura. His testimony confirmed that Combs had a signatory power over the funds, and prosecutors will likely use this to argue that Combs may have run a criminal enterprise. Ferguson stated that he never witnessed Combs commit violence or SA, but he did confirm that a $20,000 payment was made from Ventura's family to Combs in December of 2011. Ventura's mother, Regina Ventura, previously testified that Combs demanded the family pay $20,000 to keep him from releasing a sexually explicit videos of Ventura after he learned that she was seeing rapper Scott Mescudi, also known as Kid Cudi. She also told the court she received the money back days later. Brianna Bogolin, a friend of Combs' former girlfriend and key government witness Cassie Ventura, invoked her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. The witness has been told that she won't be prosecuted as long as she tells the truth on the stand, prosecutors said. It wasn't immediately clear what Bogolin could say that put her into legal jeopardy. Bogolin has alleged that Diddy dangled her over an apartment balcony during a previous altercation. And if you have followed the Shots Our Friends over at Inner City Press, some of her testimony, she did implicate herself in regards to providing drugs to Cassie and to Diddy. So earlier this week, hotel security guard Eddie Garcia also invoked his rights against self-incrimination. It turned out that he testified about helping Combs' team secure video of the mogul's beating of Ventura. Court is in session and the government has called its first witness, forensic video expert Frank Piazza. Piazza was sworn in and took the stand wearing a dark suit, according to NBC News. The primary task of this video expert appears to be authenticating the footage of Combs beating Ventura in Los Angeles hotel has not been altered. Because that was also one of the defense's arguments when it comes to this video footage being included. They were saying the video footage from CNN was altered. Piazza said that there are no anomalies in the disturbing footage shown of Combs assaulting his then-girlfriend Ventura at the Intercontinental Hotel in Los Angeles in 2016. The witness, Piazza, is walking jurors through video footage of Combs' 2016 videotape beating of Ventura at a Los Angeles hotel. The jury at this particular point has seen this video multiple times. He's confirming the video's authenticity and walking the court through a version he stitched together, showing events as they happened in chronological order. The prosecution filed into evidence under seal 10 S videos, including Ventura, involving Ventura. Oof. The footage was dated between 2012 and 2014 and came from a user file marked Frank Black, an alias Combs allegedly used while traveling and what he would use while in different hotels. Here's the thing in regards to this video footage that they're getting to see. We have to remember, and this reminds me of what Cameron was interviewing the Punisher, one of the S workers that testified in this case and alleged that he had sex with Cassie while Diddy watched and videotaped. Cameron did an interview yesterday. We're not going to play it here because it was so disgusting. I'm only mentioning it because of this being mentioned that the jurors are now watching or are seeing, will potentially see video footage of these freak-offs. And what you're watching there, what according to Cassie is saying, is that she did these things against her will. So what you're watching is SA in these videos. So when Cameron, a rapper from the 90s and the early 2000s, from that era, asked the Punisher, one of the men involved in here, asked about the sex that he had with Cassie. And more specifically, and I'm going to edit this down the way that I can say this on YouTube, he particularly asked, he was like, what was that vajayjay like? And you can see how uncomfortable the Punisher was in responding to this question. He doesn't really give a response. He's just, Cameron, you're disgusting. And anyone that supports you is just as disgusting. Because I just can't imagine why you thought that was relevant. I don't know if you're following the case or not, but if you are following the case and you still decided to ask that type of question when you were talking about a woman that is doing something that she didn't want to do, yes, the Punisher at the time probably did not realize that. He even testified that he said he thought she was having a good time, but not knowing what she's been dealing with, this history of abuse, because that's not what we're debating. We know that there was a history of abuse between Cassie and Diddy. But for Cameron to ask that question about Cassie, you're gross. I already knew you were gross, but you just solidified for me that you're gross and insensitive. Anyway, so Piazza's testimony might be coming across as highly technical. But remember, again, I've been saying this since we did our interview with Kirsten Brown, a prosecutor in Los Angeles County. I told you, she gave me a different perspective when we talked about jury selection, when she talked about the ideal jury for her. She says there are certain careers that are very analytical. So experts like this and Dr. Hughes are things that they pay attention to. So NBC says that Piazza's testimony might come across as highly technical and tedious as lawyers go moment by moment through security footage of Combs and Ventura. The rather dry testimony, though, has led to a cumulative impact of jurors having to sit through an extended look at Combs' brutal beating of his then-girlfriend, March 5th, 2016, in Los Angeles. While Combs' defense in opening statements conceded he's prone to be out-of-control temper tantrums, this kind of reminder might not be helpful to his cause. The government now has called Ventura's friend Brianna Bogolin to the witness stand. Earlier today, Bogolin cited her Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination, and prosecutors have said that she won't be prosecuted as long as she testifies truthfully. So that's important. Immunity does not protect you from perjury. But I told you that because some of you have said that you want to hear me do some of the transcripts that we're getting from Inner City Press. And when I say transcripts, I don't mean that literally, because it's not a literal verbatim transcript that's usually provided through the court, I think, at the end of the day or the next day. So it's not a transcript. I'm using that for lack of a better word. But I will cite my source, Inner City Press, who's been covering this case and doing a fantastic job. So shout out to them. Go give them a follow if you want to see everything that they've been covering, because they don't just cover the Diddy case. They cover other cases as well. So let me get to where Brianna starts testifying from our friends over at Inner City Press on X. All right. Let me scroll back. All right. So let me see. Again, because the way Twitter threads work, guys, and I'm going to keep this in just so you guys see what I'm going through in order to get through things. And Inner City Press was having issues before in regards to technical issues because of X, in regards to keeping the thread going. Okay, so let's move on. This is Piazza's testimony. I want to get to, and literally I had just moved this to Brianna's testimony. So the government calls Brianna Bogolin. What else are you called? Brianna says, Bana. AUSA says, what do you work in? Fashion design. What did Mr. Combs do to you? Held me over a 17th story balcony. Any after effects? Night terrors. I wake up in my sleep. Who is this? Shows a photo. It's Cassie. It's Cassandra Ventura. Cassie, my friend. I met her in 2013 at Young and Reckless, the streetwear company, then at Diamond Designs. How would you describe Cassie's relationship with Mr. Combs? Volatile. I did not want to meet him right away. I had seen a black eye. She begged me to meet him. Did you design work for Mr. Combs? A little. Where did Mr. Combs live? I think like Beverly Hills. Objection from Combs' attorney. Ask another question, the judge says. Do you know the name of the street? She says, Mapleton, 200 South Mapleton. What did you do with Cassie? Drugs. And we'd go shopping. We'd hang out with Deontay and others. Remember, Deontay Nash was a stylist that testified as well, I believe last week. All the weeks are folding together at this point. In this photo of you, Cassie, shopping, ? Yes, in April of 2016, Puff texts Cassie, asked where she was, sent a list where we'd been. Have you and Cassie told Mr. Combs where you were? Bogolin says no. How did it make you feel? Objection from Diddy's team. Overruled, the judge says. Like, oh my God, he knows where we've been. This is what Bogolin says. Where would you sleep at Cassie's, couch or balcony? Did Mr. Combs come over? She says, yes, he banged on the door and came in. Do you know how? I don't know. He was upset. He threw a knife in her direction and she threw it back. He left swiftly. Were you doing drugs? She says, I don't remember. Did you call the police? Bogolin says, no. Why? Why not? I was scared. Did you see injuries on Cassie? She says, she showed me on FaceTime before makeup for the perfect match. What did she say? She was quiet. We were at a party at the Blind Dragon, a karaoke bar in West Hollywood. Then we went to Cassie's house to help her pack. Deontay was there. Puff came. Are you under subpoena? Are you under subpoena? AUSA says, yes, I won't get in trouble if I am truthful, meaning that she has immunity. Did Mr. Combs provide you drugs? Yes. One was called G. I'm not an avid user. Ketamine, marijuana, and cocaine. How often did you get drugs for Cassie? Often. Those oxy pills. Did she pay you? Yes. Did you get drugs for Mr. Combs? Yes. Once. Cocaine. Did you sell drugs to others? Yes. Sometimes. Hence why she wanted immunity. She says, yes. Sometimes. Did you try with Cassie to stop drugs? She says, yes, we tried to cook, but there were a lot of drugs around. Has Mr. Combs ever threatened you? She says, yes. Let me show you a photo from April 2016. Who is in it? This photographer who goes by the name of Bad Boy with an I. We thought it was cool that was his name. We thought we made some art. Puff came up close to my face and said, I am the devil and I could kill you. And then she starts, seemingly, according to Inner City Press, seems to sob. Were you taking drugs that day? Probably cocaine. Did you continue to see Mr. Combs? She says, yes. Why? I don't know. Did you tell the government about this threat in your first meeting? Brianna says, no. Why? Objection from Combs' team. The judge has sustained. AUSA says, we could break here. So they take a break. They're back. The judge says, anything before we bring the jury in? AUSA says, no disputes, laughs. But we now think Jane will not get on the stand today, given how this is going. We would like to get Enrique Santos on today, some exhibits for Jane and tech issues. Judge says, okay. Jury comes out. This is told to return to the jury room. Then it's told to return to the jury room. Judge says, jurors, we have some tech issues, have to go under the tables. I'm going to ask you to retire to the jury room just for your comfort. We'll bring you back in a few minutes. We're just getting the logisticals, which I can appreciate. So the jury comes back. AUSA Smizer says, what happened on the balcony? Vogelin says, I was there. Now was there? I don't know. Maybe that may be an error from Inner City Press. Maybe it said who was there. Cassie and my ex-girlfriend at the time. AUSA says, what were you doing? Sleeping on the couch with my ex. Doing drugs? I don't recall. What did you do when Mr. Combs arrived? I took my ex-girlfriend to the bathroom. I went, shh. Why? I didn't want to expose her to what I saw. Then, went out to the balcony and either lit the blunt or was about to. Mr. Combs came up behind me on the balcony. He lifted me up and put me on the railing. Can you show us how he held you? To myself? She asked. How much do you weigh? I can't say because of the drugs, but about 115 pounds. What did Mr. Combs scream at you? He yelled, you know what the F you did. I said back, I don't know what the F I did. How long did he hold you there? How long did it take? She says, how long it takes to say that multiple times. You know what the F you did. What next? He threw me on the balcony furniture. Were you injured? I didn't know at first. What Cassie say? Along the lines, did you just hang her over the balcony? Then I heard her girlfriend is in the house. I called one of the managers and they said, if you're scared of anything else, just go to the chiropractor. Did you tell the chiropractor who done it to you? No. They asked, but I just paid and took the neck brace. So I'm assuming she had some aftermath effects of being strung up like that. Is the neck brace in this photo of you? She says, yes. Did you ever talk with Mr. Combs about this? She says, I said, I don't want any problems with you. He didn't say anything. When did you last see him? January 2nd of 2018. How do you remember? I tattooed the date on myself. Oh, my gosh. Why? It's the date that I decided to get sober. Wow. It was a New Year's thing in Miami at the One Hotel. Puff, Cassie, and I did 8 hours of ketamine together. Damn. Are you aware Cassie included the balcony incident in her complaint? Yes, I told her she had the facts wrong. It wasn't in a hotel and Tiffany. Have you talked with Cassie about your testimony or hers? No, I have nightmares. I scream. When was the last time you had nightmares? The other day. I'm also pretty sure that a lot of what's been playing out in the media, the fact that she knows that she has to testify, a lot of that's probably triggering this stuff and the nightmares. Have you hired a lawyer about the balcony incident? Yes, my first lawyer hired in January of 2024. Did you mention everything in your first meeting with us? No. Did your first lawyer send a demand letter to Mr. Combs? Multiple. And the demand was high. He picked it. Did you approve the letters? No, they were incorrect. I let him go. Who? Tyrone Blackburn. Lord have mercy. Okay, for those that have been following these cases with me over the years and pop culture news, we know Tyrone Blackburn. Tyrone Blackburn is very much like a Tony Busby. He's one of those attorneys that's attached to multiple cases, including, I believe, Little Rod's lawsuit. Tyrone Blackburn was a part of it. So she says that he had the facts wrong when he sent these demand letters to Diddy. Tyrone, Lord have mercy. Did people reach out to you? She says Tiffany, Cassie, the producer, Rob Holiday. Are they talking about Tiffany Redd? Probably. Tiffany Redd has been outspoken about times of working with Cassie on music. She said, was he friends with Mr. Combs? She says, yes. Diddy's attorney says, may we have a sidebar? The judge says, we may. All right. The AUSA says, who did Mr. Holiday say he was calling for? She says, Puff. What offer was he authorized to offer? Objection from Diddy's team. The judge says, sustained. AUSA says, how did you feel during the call? I declined the offer. The Combs' attorney says, not responsive. Judge says, sustained. Move on unless you are prepared to ask some of the foundational questions we discussed at sidebar. AUSA says, did you talk with him again? She says, no. This is important to note because we're talking about another Diddy employee reaching out in regards to in a case. That's important to note when we're talking because everyone keeps saying, oh, this is just DV charges. It's not. They're creating this enterprise that they need to form in order to prove their case. So after yet another sidebar, the judge says the objections are sustained. Move on. Smizer, the AUSA, says, your lawsuit, did you write it? Bogolin says, no. How much is being requested? $10 million. AUSA says nothing further.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Judge says cross. Combs' attorney says, yes, please. Combs' attorney says, I need you to ask you some questions. You have immunity as long as what you say today is true, right? She says, yes. Who decides if you're lying? The prosecutors? Miss Bogolin, you were a graphic designer? Yes. You and Cassie would work on designs, including at her hour, true? She says, yes. All right, you were focused on a t-shirt design. There were a lot of things. She asked you to come over? She says, yes. You suggested Cassie do a photo shoot in the pool in just a t-shirt. That wasn't the first idea, but yeah. You began to feel comfortable with her. Sounds around it, she says. You spent the night? Yes. You went to parties with Cassie? Not going to parties, we partied, meaning probably drugs. Okay, did you do a lot of drugs with Cassie? Yes. How did marijuana make you feel? Sometimes hungry. AUSA says, how does ecstasy make you feel? Uplifted. How about G? Like the negative parts of alcohol. Perk? I threw up. Cocoa Puff? That was Cocoa Puff. Blunt with weed and cocaine. Oh, so she explains. She explains what it is. Blunt with weed and cocaine. Didn't Whitney call it something else? I can't remember. Because I remember Whitney talking about this. May she rest in peace. All right. Before we move on, because I'm doing this literally as this is going on. So I'm going to wait for this to get updated as we go through a summary of some of what Brianna is testifying. And again, this is coming from our friends over at NBC News. But before we move on, as a reminder, guys, if you haven't already, be sure to like this video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels as well. We are also adding additional content, extended versions of the Diddy Trial updates on the Kempire podcast. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star review. Thank you in advance. So just a summary of what we've gone over. NBC News says Bogolin testified that Combs held her over a 17th-story balcony in 2016 before throwing her onto the balcony furniture. The mental effects of the assault left her with night terrors, she told the court. She added that there were times where she would scream in her sleep. Ventura mentioned the balcony incident without naming Bogolin in her 2023 lawsuit against Combs. Remember, a lot of people were speculating that the person held over a balcony was Wale. He's denied that. Rapper Wale. Ventura also testified about the incident while on the witness stand last month. Bogolin testified that she witnessed Combs throw a knife at Ventura during a violent outburst at her apartment. Bogolin didn't recall the exact year when the incident unfolded, but said it happened in the middle of the night at Ventura's place in Los Angeles. Ventura picked up the knife and hurled it back at Combs, the witness said. Both their throws missed. One interaction Bogolin recalled while on the witness stand was a moment in which Combs allegedly told her something along the lines of, "I am the devil and I can unalive you." He said the K word. She told the court that she was terrified. Bogolin also testified that she had taken cocaine at the time of the incident, which might be helpful towards the defense, saying that, is she a reliable witness? She was inebriated with many drugs with Cassie during these times. Is she going to remember anything? Maybe not. All right, so they recessed for lunch after that testimony, and now they're back. Bogolin testified that she was dangled over the 17-story balcony for maybe 10 to 15 seconds while Combs yelled, "You know what the F you did." She said that she had no idea what he was talking about and told Combs as much, Bogolin said. Combs allegedly came up behind her and lifted her above her chest to hold her up against the balcony, she told the court. Bogolin described herself as 5'1" at the time and weighing roughly between 100 and 115 pounds. She told the court that she was trying not to slip while pushing back on Combs because she was scared that she was going to fall. Ventura was in the nearby room and didn't witness Combs allegedly dangling Bogolin over the balcony, but she was nonetheless shocked by the incident, the witness said. "He threw me on the balcony furniture. It definitely hurt. Wasn't sure if she was injured," Bogolin told the jurors. Cassie was in the bedroom, but she came out and heard her voice. Her tone was in disbelief. A day or two after the balcony incident, Bogolin said that she received a FaceTime call from either Combs or someone on his team. She told the court that she repeatedly stated that she didn't want to have problems with Combs, but Combs didn't say much. Bogolin testified that Combs put his hand over his head while looking into the camera, trying to have remorse. Again, for those that have followed domestic violent relationships, you always see this act of violence and then you see the remorse to the victim. And they're just like, "Oh my God, I don't know what I was doing. I don't know what I was thinking." So pointing that out for those that are not familiar with those types of incidences, and this is what she's describing. Because mind you, she's telling us the story, and till this day, we don't know why he was reacting that way. Was he reacting that way just because he himself was paranoid from drug use and things like that? I don't know. After Combs allegedly dangled Bogolin over the balcony, she said that she was left with lasting psychological impact. Bogolin testified that she had nightmares and used to scream in her sleep. She added that she dealt with feelings of paranoia, sometimes peeking her head out of her own home just to make sure that the area was clear. The witness said that she sued Combs for $10 million in order to seek justice for what happened to me on the balcony. When Bogolin was asked by the prosecution if she could give away $10 million for the balcony incident to have never happened, she unequivocally said yes. Combs' attorney, Nicole Westmoreland, began cross-examination Bogolin by asking her again about the immunity order she was provided for her testimony. Westmoreland clarified that the protection against prosecution only works if Bogolin is truthful. She then followed up by asking Bogolin who she understands has the power to decide whether or not she is lying. The prosecutors, Bogolin, answered. Going back to Inner City Press's transcribing of what they're hearing in court, Diddy's attorney says, "You would agree with me that you and Cassie had a serious drug problem." She says, "Yes." "You sold drugs to Cassie a lot?" She says, "Yes." "You got her hundreds of pills?" Bogolin says, "Yes, they were hers." "Name the drug dealers." "I don't know if I can," she says. "Let's refresh. In this job, your clothing line did not work out due to the skater mentality of Diamond Supply Company. At Diamond Supply Company, I believe they saw the vision, but whatever." Diddy's attorney says, "You believe that you are one of Cassie's best friends?" She says, "Yes." "But you didn't meet Mr. Combs for a year? You met in 2016, first time at a dinner at his house?" She says, "Yes." "He was standoffish with you?" "Yes." Let's continue with this testimony from our friends over at Inner City Press. Diddy's attorney says, "You believe that you were one of Cassie's best friends?" She says, "Yes." "But you didn't meet Mr. Combs for a year. You met him in 2016, first time at a dinner at his house." She says, "Yes." "He was standoffish to you?" She says, "Yes." "Did you talk to Deontay Nash after his testimony?" She says, "Yes." "But not about his testimony, right?" "We know what's going on." Diddy's attorney says, "You don't need to talk because..." "Objection," AUSA says. "Justice sustained." "You hired Tyrone Blackburn," I'm sorry, every time I see this, "to sue Mr. Combs. It was to seek justice. Your definition of justice is to sue Mr. Combs? Can you rephrase that?" She says. "Suing for money?" She says, "Yes." November 2023, "You were aware of Cassie filed a lawsuit. You were working together then?" She says, "Yes." "May we have a sidebar?" AUSA says. Judge says, "You may." All right, they go to their sidebar. They're back. "Cassie included the balcony incident in her lawsuit." True. "Cassie said this happened at a hotel." True. "She didn't say it like that," Bogolin says. "You said your apartment, it has a balcony?" "I didn't say it like that." "Cassie told you she never saw you over a balcony?" ? "No, ma'am, I don't remember." Diddy's attorney laughs. "All right, right here. Read this page, then look up. You had these conversations." She says, "I don't know." "About this alleged balcony incident, you and Ms. Ventura talked about the date, the police, who was there." She says, "True." "In 2015 and 2016, you didn't see any signs of violence." "True." "I don't know the exact year," she says. "The birthday party, what drugs were you doing?" "I don't remember." "Alleged knife throwing incident, he just walked in and threw a knife?" "I'm not sure." "Are you telling the truth?" "Objection." What we see what the attorney is doing here, they're trying to go back to what I was saying. She's admitted to doing tons of drugs with Cassie. They're trying to take away from her credibility and her memory. Sidebar, sober me probably could not remember some of the details that these witnesses are remembering. But I'm sure speaking with other people, remember that was the year. I already know me. If you told me, unless something like tremendous happened that year, there's a lot of stuff that I probably wouldn't remember. Oh, that happened because I do that here. I was like, when was Cassie's lawsuit? It was last year. No, it's at the end of 2023. So sometimes because of the timing of when these things happen, you think it's 1 year when it's not. I'm giving grace to all the witnesses, no matter what side they're on. All right. So, and I already lost my place. Okay. So justice sustained. "Didn't you tell the government that they would get in knife fights, plural?" "I don't remember. Let me show you. I was suggesting where the knife came from," she says, "because it makes no sense," his attorney says. "You're saying you don't know how he got in to throw the knife, but once he's left, you no longer worried?" She says, "I don't remember how I felt," which understandably. "You say at a photo shoot, Mr. Combs said I could unalive you?" She says, "Yes." "But at first you told the government it was at a party." She says, "I don't know." Your first demand letter said Mr. Combs said I could unalive you while he hung you over the balcony? He did both. just not at the same time.
Okay.
So she's piecing together her memory. But you see what the defense is doing here. So the AUSA asks for a sidebar. She just says yes. Combs' attorney says, you met the government on January 18th of 2024. Didn't mention the I could unalive you. I'm changing the word for YouTube. But put it in your subsequent demand letter. Yes, in a demand letter, I don't know when. Combs' attorney says, read this. She says, the whole thing? This paragraph. Judge says, as much as you want. Thanks, okay. You didn't tell the government about the I could unalive you. And Tyrone was there? Yes, I let him go. Diddy's attorney says, drugs were expensive, right? She says, they are expensive, question mark. I don't know, she says. Bogolin says, they are expensive, with like a question, as a question. Diddy's attorney says, now? She says, I don't know. Because remember, she's sober. She claims that the incident with Diddy hanging her over the balcony is what made her go sober. Did you run out of money for drugs? Diddy's attorney asks. I don't remember that. You and Cassie had a drug partnership? She says yes. Cassie would pay for the drugs. You go buy them? She says yes. Did you meet the government on May 25th of 2025 and June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th? Oh, so recently. She says, yeah, that's not long ago. That's today. She says, I'm not good with dates. Okay, so her saying that she's not good with dates might not be the best. I'm not saying that it really hurts her credibility, but it goes back to the timeline of what she's been saying in her testimony. Diddy's attorney says, the balcony incident. Didn't you tell the government there was a party in the apartment? I don't remember that. You told the government your girlfriend was in the bathroom, not that you took her in there. My ex, she says. Your complaint says that you were smoking a cigarette on the balcony, not weed. I don't remember. Different things? But we have to remember, she got immunity today. So maybe when she met with the prosecutor, she didn't want to admit to illegal activity then. Just putting it all out there so for us to think about all sides. She said, okay, you told the government that you recalled he was charging at you. She says, I don't remember. Didn't you first say Mr. Combs SA'd you on the balcony?
Wait a minute.
Bogolin says, I showed them where his hands were. You said that he groped your breasts, or your lawyer said that? My lawyer said that. Wait a minute. You told the government you recalled he was charging at you. Don't remember. Didn't you first say that Mr. Combs SA'd you on the balcony? I showed them where his hands were. You said that he groped your breasts, or your lawyer said that. My lawyer said that.
Okay. Tyrone Blackburn at the time?
Wondering. Didn't you tell the prosecutors 2 days ago that you couldn't remember what happened out on the balcony? She says, I don't remember.
Okay, the credibility of this witness is getting a little shaky.
Do you remember what drugs you were on? She says, no. They want to bring up the fact that she was on drugs. Westmoreland says, didn't you tell the government you took Molly, G, and cocaine? That's a lot of drugs, she says. Didn't you take them all? No, not all on that night. The judge asks Diddy's attorney, how much more do you have? He says, how much can I get? Laughs. Well, she, I think Westmoreland's a woman. How much more can I get? Laughs. I'd like to finish today. I ask you how long? Quite a bit more, Westmoreland says. Judge says, jurors, you may go until 11 a.m. tomorrow. 11 a.m.? They're starting late tomorrow. So the jury leaves. The judge says, how much more? The attorney says, 45 minutes, maybe 30. Judge says, anything else? AUSA says, I emailed you during the afternoon about a pseudonym order for Jane. That's victim two. They have the docket there. Combs' attorney, Shapiro, says there has been a chilling effect on media coverage, even of the demeanor of the witness. The judge says, I don't think people in the courtroom and the other courtrooms were trying to violate the order, nor do I think they were chilled. Then is it where are the arguments? Shapiro says, I disagree that there have been no chilling effect, at least with respect to the mainstream press.
Judge says, I think I will be reading the order. What order? When will any of the of this be docketed, according to Inner City Press is asking. Now we can't, this is Diddy's attorney. Now we can't even talk to him on the phone. He has the minutes, but can't call us. They're talking about Diddy, because remember their big fight was the fact that they wanted more time with Diddy. And the judge says, I'm going to try. But again, when we think about other people that have been in similar situations as Sean Diddy Combs, they're not getting special privileges in regards to meeting with their attorneys. Now we can't even talk to him on the phone. He has the minutes, but he can't call us. It says you have no minutes. The judge says, what does MDC legal say? That's the detention center. Donaldson says that he has no minutes. Then the judge says, can he use core links? The defense says, that's not like texting. It can be on 48-hour delay. I will issue an order. See you tomorrow. Okay. Let me get to our little summary, because we love our good summaries. Let me scroll down to our summaries. Maybe they'll explain to us why they're meeting late tomorrow. And you guys are getting this a little bit late today because I have errands to run as well. So I had to take a little bit of a break, but I'm back. My lunch break happened. The witness said that she sued Combs for $10 million in order to seek justice for what happened to me on the balcony. When she was asked about the prosecution, if she could give away $10 million for the balcony incident to have never happened, she unequivocally said, yes. I can't even imagine. 17 floors? That's pretty high up. I'm in a high rise. And I'm not that high up. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty high. Combs' attorney, Nicole Westmoreland, began cross-examination of Bogolin by asking her again about the immunity order that she provided for her testimony. Westmoreland clarified that the protection against prosecution only works if Bogolin is truthful. She then followed up by asking Bogolin who she understands has the power to decide whether or not she's lying. She says, the prosecutor. So we went through this. Bogolin testified both she and Ventura had once been very regular drug users when they were in Combs' social world. Under cross-examination, Bogolin confirmed that she did ketamine, marijuana, ecstasy, cocaine, and Vicodin in this time of her life. Bogolin said that one of her favorite drugs was a blunt with the sprinkles of cocaine. She says, we had a problem. Bogolin testified under cross-examination that she reconnected with Ventura and worked for her in late 2023, around the time that Ventura filed her lawsuit against Combs. Defense attorneys probed Bogolin about her conversations with Ventura at the time, asking if they discussed the filing legal action as they worked. Bogolin said that she did speak to Ventura before and after Ventura filed her lawsuit, but the two didn't discuss it while working. The pair did discuss the balcony incident in relation to the location and the date it happened, Bogolin told the court. She also testified that Ventura asked if she could use Bogolin's name in her lawsuit when discussing the incident, but Bogolin said no. The defense tried to discredit Bogolin's memory of the alleged dangling incident, asking if she hasn't kept all details of it straight. Combs' attorney Westmoreland insinuated in questions that Bogolin couldn't recall from which direction the defendant came at her or what she might have been smoking at the time of the alleged attack. She answered, I don't remember, multiple times. The judge sent the jurors home and asked them to return to court before 11 a.m. on Thursday. The defense lawyer Westmoreland said that she had 30 to 45 minutes of questions left for the witness, Bogolin. So I'm wondering, here's the thing. I mean, she didn't ask for more questions, but I'm wondering, the judge may have told them to come in a little bit later tomorrow, so maybe so that Diddy can have more time with the attorneys in the morning. Probably that's the justification, I'm assuming. For the past several days, Combs hasn't been able to speak with his own lawyers once he returns to jail after court, his attorney said. The defendant has 300 minutes on his books, but for some reason can't get in touch with lawyers at night, defense attorney Xavier Donaldson told the court. This is unacceptable, Donaldson said. Judge Subramanian said that he'll reach out to the jail and see what can be done. There is an email system for prisoners, core links, but that normally comes with a 24 to 48 hour delay. So that's not helpful, defense attorney Garrigo said. Whoever's setting up Suge Knight's phone interviews needs to help them out. Just asking. The court is adjourned for the day after the attorneys stayed behind to hash out finer details without the jury present. Testimony will resume tomorrow around 11 a.m. when Bogolin returns to the witness stand for more cross-examination. So I wonder if that means that court will go until maybe like 4 or 5 tomorrow. We shall see. I don't know what the logistics of that are, but it seems as if the delay is so that Diddy can have more time with his attorneys before they present tomorrow. So they're going to bring Bogolin back to the stand. I'm sure that we're going to have more cross-examination, a redirect, and maybe another redirect. We shall see. We shall see. But I have to say, today's testimony didn't necessarily move me like some of the previous testimony, just because, yes, at least it's clarifying for us who exactly was held over a balcony. We know that came up in Cassie's lawsuit. And we know now that it definitely wasn't Wale, unless Diddy did that to more than one person. Then again, I'm thinking to, well, no, that happened to a rapper, another rapper. It happened to someone else. You guys will jog my memory in the comment section or the live chat. Guys, as always, do me a favor. Don't forget to like this video. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend. If you like our summaries and you feel like there are people telling you, like, I'm watching the case all day, but it's too much, I'd much rather get a summary at the end of the day. Be sure, sharing is caring. Tell them about the Kempire channel and tell them about our podcast. Because sometimes I do add additional coverage and thoughts in our Diddy trial updates on the Kempire podcast. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And don't forget the Kempire After Dark, the villain era, is coming to Philadelphia, July 10th, Atlanta, August 5th. Then we're in DC on August 22nd. Then back here in New York City on September 12th. And that show, that New York City show, has a special live stream option. So even if you're coming to the Philly, Atlanta, or DC show, what we talk about in those cities won't be what we talk about come September. God only knows what we'll be talking about come September, but it is the villain era. So you never know. You never know. Let's continue this conversation in the comment section. Again, don't forget to like the video. Don't forget to subscribe. It is a subscribers only live chat. And of course, thank you to our Kings Guards, our channel members, and our subscribers. We appreciate you guys. And shout out to those of you watching in the, I say the nosebleeds section, not the bushes anymore. Shout out to those of you watching in the nosebleeds. Subscribe today. Thank you guys so much for watching and for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But DC politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.